Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Dude. Oh my God.
Breaking now on Fox 50, new video shows the chaos after that mass shooting at Michigan State University. What police are revealing about the gunman as we await another big update just minutes away.
And we're following breaking news right now with a crash on 40 westbound coming in from Johnston County toward Garner. I'll show you how long you'll be waiting in traffic.
And inflation is not stopping people on Valentine's Day. The phones are ringing here. Coming up, we're going to tell you how florists in our area have been keeping things affordable. Hopefully you have got your Valentine's Day goodies this morning. If not, you got to run out the door now and go and get them. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful Valentine's Day. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It is great to have you along here. Thanks for making us part of your routine. And I tell you, the sun's up. It's beautiful out. We've got great weather on the way for the next couple of days. But Elizabeth Gardner on the WRAL Severe Weather Center, we haven't moved that needle just yet. Still chilly.
Yeah, it is chilly out there. I was happy in my winter coat this morning. It is 39 here across the triangle. This is a live look across North Hills at all that beautiful blue sky right now. We take a look at temperatures. This is beginning to warm up in a few spots. We've jumped to 48 in Fayetteville and 39 in Southern Pines. Southern Pines dropped down to 29 this morning. It's 34 in Roxboro, 40 in Rocky Mount, 37 in Goldsboro. So we're coming along. Our temperatures are anywhere from about the same to as much as 4 degrees, 5 degrees cooler than they were this time yesterday. Is it going to be too chilly to sit outside for Valentine's dinner this evening? It'll be 65 at 5 o'clock, 60 at 6 o'clock, and 57 at 7 o'clock. So if you're going after sunset, for me, I would want to sit right beside one of those heaters. But it's not going to be too cold out there. We'll climb into the mid-60s at lunchtime, and our high is almost 70 this afternoon. We have several days in our 7-day forecast with highs in the 70s, but we also have rain in the forecast for part of Friday. I'll show you when to expect it. Coming up, Brian.
802 Elizabeth, let's take a look at this breaking news as we track these backups coming in from Johnston County toward Garner and Wake County. An earlier crash right around the Clayton bypass causing some pretty big problems. It looks like the crash itself has been cleared, but we're seeing some very heavy delays coming in from the McGee's Crossroads area. Taking a look at those latest sensor updates, we're measuring a 47-minute delay from 210 up to 42, and then about a 10-minute backup from 42 to 440. Now, I've just checked with some alternate routes through there, and if you're coming in from the McGee's Crossroads area, unfortunately, it looks like 40 westbound is going to be your best bet. All the other alternate routes are not going to save you that much time, unfortunately, so you need to allow that extra time on 40 westbound this morning. If you're able to pick up 40 west from the 70 business interchange, you'll be on the other side of those delays and in good shape as you head through South and West Raleigh. As we zoom into South Raleigh, we have a report of a crash in the past couple of minutes, apparently blocking South Saunders Street on that northbound side right around Pecan Road. Working to learn some details about this. This particular set of sensor data doesn't show big delays, but I have seen some other data in the past couple of minutes indicating some pretty big backups heading in from Garner toward South Raleigh. An earlier crash at US 1 around 1010 Road in the clearing stages, but still seeing some lingering delays from 55 this morning. And in Durham right now, starting to get busy in both directions of 885 between I-40 and 147.
Thank you, Brian. Breaking news. We're getting a new look on Fox 50 at the chaos at student dorms at Michigan State University as that deadly shooting unfolded overnight. You can see students running outside this dorm room here. This was shot from inside one of the dorm rooms. This video was released just in the past 2 hours. And this here is a live look at a press conference happening right now. Governor Gretchen Whitmer at the podium speaking. Kent Smith is monitoring all of this from the WRAL Live Center. He'll have an update for us very soon. And here's what police shared in that first briefing this morning. They say the gunman was a 43-year-old man with no ties to the university. He took his own life at a site off campus after the shootings, which took place at a residence hall and in the student union. 3 people are dead, 5 others in critical condition. We don't know at this point if any of them are students. Those on campus say everyone followed directions from police. Run, hide, fight.
So scary hearing all of them saying they're like underneath their bed and they're barricading their doors and like crying, they hear screaming.
We know that during an incident involving an active shooter, that providing clear instructions to the community in terms of actions to take is very important. And that's why we pushed the information out very quickly.
Michigan state officials say there will be no campus-related activities for the next 2 days. Leaders, including Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, posted after 2 o'clock this morning saying something needs to change to address school shootings like this. Again, she is speaking right now live. We will have an update for you from the WREL Live Center as soon as we can.
Now, this mass shooting comes as the community of Parkland, Florida, marks 5 years since the killings at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. It was Valentine's Day 2018 when a gunman opened fire inside the school, killing 17 people. The shooter was sentenced to life in prison back in November. Here at home, one local school system is set to make a big step today in addressing the school bus driver shortage we are seeing all across our state. Administrators with Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools are expected to recommend raising the new bus driver minimum wage to $20 an hour, a big jump from the current minimum wage of $16.62 an hour. It's also higher than the salary in Wake and Durham counties, which stand around $17 and $18, respectively. This comes as we learned in the last hour. 4 bus routes in Chapel Hill are without drivers this morning. WRL's Laura Levine will give us a better look at what's at stake in our next half hour.
And more breaking news, this time overseas. In the wake of that deadly earthquake in Turkey and Syria, rescuers revealed overnight they are still finding survivors in the rubble 8 days after this earthquake hit. First responders say they pulled an 18-year-old man to safety in Turkey just before their 200th hour of searching. 2 others were rescued just an hour earlier in a different building. However, officials say hopes are fading for any more survivors. As of this morning, that death toll stands at above 37,000. That is up more than 1,000 from just yesterday.
And new video this morning shows the moment that 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Turkey last Monday. You can see buildings shaking and then collapsing within seconds on this police security footage. It's the deadliest earthquake in Turkey since 1939.
A massive fire at a salvage yard in Wayne County is still burning this morning. Video shows the scene overnight at the National Salvage and Service Corporation in Dudley. Firefighters have been there since Saturday. Luckily, no one was hurt in any of this, and it did not cause any damage to any homes or businesses nearby. The fire is contained, but firefighters say smoke will still linger for the next couple of days.
In less than 30 minutes, we'll get a better idea of whether inflation is cooling off. The Consumer Price Index will show how much we all spent on things like gas and groceries last month. 4 months now, the data has shown inflation is cooling off, but some economists think today's report could show it's back on the rise. We'll hear from one of them ahead in our next half hour. The Federal Reserve will look to this report to help decide whether to raise interest rates again. And this report comes as people are expected to spend a record amount on Valentine's Day this year. WRL's Nia Harden joins us from Cary Flores this morning, where the doors opened in just the last few hours. And Nia expecting a busy day there today, no doubt.
Cary Flores opened at 6 o'clock this morning. They normally open at 9 o'clock, and the phones have been ringing. People have been coming in to pick up those items. Some of them, those last-minute type shoppers, but they have plenty of arrangements here. As you can see, they expect it to be a busy day. The florist says orders started coming in at the beginning of December, and between their 2 stores, they have more than 500 orders going out today. That's up, they say, from last year. And to keep prices affordable and avoid inflation, they ordered all of their supplies last year. The shop expects a lot of those last-minute customers to arrive here today and says they will be ready for them.
I think everybody has a little bit of procrastination in them, and Valentine's Day definitely shows it for some, not for everybody, but we are prepared for them. And we've filled our coolers. They're going to stay full for the rest of the day into the night, and whatever they need, we'll try and get them.
Another thing they saw an uptick in was online orders. And if you're looking to get your loved ones something different from the typical roses, they say another popular thing has been the tropical arrangements. Nia Harden, WRL News in Cary.
Still ahead, Hollywood heartthrob Idris Elba is finally responding to the rumor. Will he play the next James Bond? What he told an audience earlier this morning.
Plus, we ask a local clinical psychologist what steps parents can take after new research shows a big jump in suicidal thoughts and depression in teenage girls all across the country.
Beautiful day for Valentine's Day. We're going to see dry conditions all the way up until Thursday night. Friday, we'll have rain for part of the day. I'm going to walk you through the timeline in just a few minutes.
Blue skies and whirligigs right there. Good morning to Wilson. It is 8:12 right now on your Tuesday morning, and I don't think there's a whisper of wind down there. It doesn't look like it right now. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRI Severe Weather Center with confirmation.
Yes, it is just still down there. And we've had light to zero winds all morning, which is nice because it's been pretty chilly. We dropped down to freezing and even some upper 20s in spots this morning. But with all the sunshine, we're starting to see the temperatures rebound a bit. Goldsboro, Apex, Durham, Chapel Hill, all looking at bright skies, blue conditions. You can see Chapel Hill there, courtesy of the Top of the Hill restaurant. We are high and dry. Big old high pressure system just down to our south, feeding in a warm flow, keeping things nice and warm. It will be dry today. We're really dry until late Thursday night and into the first half of the day on Friday. But there is a warm front that's going to slide across our area overnight tonight. Initially, it looked like there would be a sprinkle with that, and now it really looks like it's probably not going to bring us any rain at all. Here's 6 p.m., and you can see how the skies begin to cloud up closer to midnight. There's 2 a.m., and you can see, I mean, just a quick blip of green, but it's much less than we were looking at yesterday. We take a look at futurecast for tomorrow. There's lunchtime, looking at partly cloudy skies. Going to be a nice one again tomorrow. But let's talk about this front that's going to bring us some rain overnight Thursday night and into Friday. Ahead of the front, we're seeing a strong flow out of the south. So it's going to be a very warm day on Thursday and the beginning of the day on Friday as well. Here's 5 p.m. Thursday, and we see the cold front arriving and bringing us some rain starting around midnight or so. It is likely to be quite a wet Friday morning. There's 7 a.m. And then we begin to see the rain pulling out. This is a new run of the computer model, which has the rain out of the triangle area right about noon or so, and then pulling out of our eastern counties by about 2. And so depending on what your plans are for Friday afternoon, it may be that they're salvageable. We take a look at our severe weather threat with this, and there definitely is a level 2 threat across parts of the central and southern part of the Mississippi Valley. And then on Thursday, east of the Mississippi, all the way from the Great Lakes down to the Gulf of Mexico is a level 2 risk. So that looks pretty ominous, as we know that front's going to move through here. But watch this. This is the futurecast storm energy. So this is where we'd have the best chance of severe storms. Watch how the front moves across the mountains, and all that severe storm energy stays on the other side of the mountain. So right now, we're not looking at a huge chance for severe storms here. It is Hurricanes Fan Fest ahead of the big game at Carter-Finley Stadium on Saturday. We're going to see a chance of rain right around lunchtime, and then we dry out for the rest of the afternoon's events. And Saturday looks nice and dry and appropriately chilly. Puck drop, 8 o'clock, 42 degrees. So you can go all bundled up in your coat and feel like you're from Canada or something like that. But not for long, because we're right back to 70 degrees by Monday, Brian.
It is 8:15 right now. A lot of new information about these crashes that we are following this morning. Going to start off with Johnston County. The latest update of our sensors there indicating that ride from 210 in the McGee's Crossroads area up to 42 is now down to just 5 minutes. So it's a little closer to normal. Still, you're going to run into backups through 42 all the way out toward the Clayton Bypass this morning with that earlier crash that apparently has been cleared from the travel lanes, at least. Still seeing some delays also on 42 and the bypass itself approaching the I-40 interchanges. On the south side of Raleigh, we have a report of a crash at Tryon Road at Gorman Street. Another apparently blocking at least part of Avon Ferry Road around Athens Drive, just north of Lake Johnson in southwest Raleigh. Crash reported on South Saunders at Pecan Road. As we take a live look at that camera at Wilmington at South Saunders, looking up toward Pecan Road and the I-40 interchange, we're not seeing delays like we were seeing on the sensors a little while ago. So whatever has happened out there apparently has been cleared from the road, and traffic is flowing fairly well through that area. A little bit of a sun glare delay right now in South Durham on 40 eastbound between 751 out toward Highway 55, and the usual delays in both directions of 885 between I-40 and the 147 split.
Thank you, Brian. We are staying on top of that breaking news. Officials speaking right now about that mass shooting at Michigan State University. That's where you're looking live. We've just learned that the 5 students who were hurt in the shooting remain in critical condition this morning. Ken Smith is monitoring this right now from the WREL Life Center. We're going to have another update for you ahead at 8:30.
As prosecutors prepare to rest their case in the murder trial of disbarred South Carolina attorney Alex Murdaugh, new body cam video is revealing more about the night of those killings. Jurors got a first look at a clip yesterday showing Murdaugh talking with police back in 2021.
I went to the house and they weren't home, which was odd. I tried to call.
Okay.
And then I knew they had been down here before I left to go to my mom's.
Okay.
And so that is loaded.
Okay.
You might want to unload it.
I'm not even checking their damn.
They are dead, aren't they?
Yes, sir. That's what it looks like.
That is video from the night of the murders. Two jurors were dismissed yesterday after testing positive for COVID-19. The defense is expected to start sharing its case as early as tomorrow.
Experts are weighing in on a new CDC report showing depression and suicidal thoughts are skyrocketing in young women. Nearly 60% of teenage girls surveyed last fall say they've had persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. That's compared to 29% of teen boys. About 30% of girls said they considered taking their own life. For boys, it was 14%. Nearly one in five girls reported sexual violence. A clinical psychologist at UNC tells WREL cognitive behavioral therapy can be a big help for teens.
Really helping people kind of generate more helpful, more adaptive ways of thinking and shifting their behavior into ways of coping and engaging in their surroundings that are that can be healthier.
She says another option is talking about feelings with a trusted adult. Other experts say there needs to be more emphasis on mental health for teens. And help is available for anyone who needs it anytime. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is on your screen. It's 988, or you can go to WREL.com/get help.
A Nash County community is remembering the life of a man who was killed near the Cummins engine plant. A crowd of more than 100 people gathered overnight to say goodbye to Quentin McNair. Investigators say he was shot and killed by a coworker after an argument last Tuesday. McNair's mother and sister said the support they have received since means everything.
I didn't realize how many people that my son touched. It's just give me great joy.
Love all your people while you can. This was so unexpected, only 27.
Yeah, another coworker was also hurt in the shooting and was taken to the hospital in critical condition. The sheriff's office has not said if charges are pending.
Today, a newly formed group in the Sandhills is standing up to hate. The Sandhills Coalition for Peace, Love, and Justice is hosting an event today called Taking Back the Bridge. It starts at 10 o'clock this morning near the bridge over U.S. 1 in Vass, where someone hung an anti-Semitic banner on the first day of Hanukkah. Another hateful message flew on another bridge in Moore County on Christmas morning. The group says it will honor the town of Vass today for its proclamation to denounce hate in all forms.
Happening today, we'll learn if new cottage rentals will be built near the Southern Pines Golf Club. Town Council is expected to make a decision after months of debate. A hearing back in November drew dozens of people opposed to the housing over concerns about traffic, noise, and safety. The plan includes 10 cottages where the former Elks Club Lodge once stood.
If you're looking to set the mood this Valentine's Day with a movie or maybe some music, we have you covered. Here's David Daniel with today's Hollywood-themed Hollywood Minute.
Listen to me. I've got you. I won't let go.
James Cameron famously pitched Titanic as Romeo and Juliet on a sinking ship. That love story helped make it one of the highest-grossing films of all time.
It seems to have really given something to people that's quite specific. You know, it strikes the chord. It strikes that romantic chord. You know, the music was phenomenal, the costumes, the set design, all the lighting, you know, how sort of spectacular it all was. With little me and little Leo, you know, running around at the center of it all, terrified of a sinking ship. It's magical.
That's Finnish singer Ville Valo and the title track from his debut solo album, Neon Noir. The singer is continuing his love metal style, pioneered by his former band, Him. Valo says recording the album helped him through the pandemic.
Since there was nothing else to do, I think that music was the Neon Noir, the album was the only thing that kept me safe. I went at it one song at a time, and it was an interesting album for me because I played all the instruments, I engineered it, and I produced it.
In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
We are feeling the love here. But we're not feeling the love for this. I'm upset. New on Fox 50, actor Idris Elba is turning down any speculation that he'll be the next James Bond. Elba spoke this morning at the World Government Summit in Dubai. He addressed the growing questions about whether he should take over the role of 007, saying, quote, I'm not going to be that guy. Instead, Elba says he's focused on his upcoming film based on the British series Luther. He plays a detective in that movie, which is set to hit theaters on February 24th. I'm sad about this. I really thought he was such a fantastic pick for 007. He's handsome. He's got the moves. I'm sad.
I can tell you're broken up about this. All his roles, I mean, he's so diverse in everything that he can do.
Yeah.
I think he would have been a great 007.
I think so, too. But he's focusing on other things, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Not going to be 007.
Not going to be James Bond.
Called it out. All right. Facebook's parent company Meta is going on a hiring spree here in Durham, and local leaders are calling it a mixed blessing. Still ahead, we'll share their concerns ahead of this big investment.
Plus, we're keeping a close eye on that breaking news out of Michigan, a deadly mass shooting at MSU. New reaction from students is next as police work to learn more about the gunman.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26 is the time in your Tuesday morning. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Jeff Hogan. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with bright sunshine greeting us.
Ooh, so pretty out there. We take a live look at Clinton this morning. Looking gorgeous town by town. Temperatures are actually pretty chilly. It's 48 in Fayetteville, still 37 in Irwin, 35 in South Hill, 39 in Southern Pines. Southern Pines dropped down to 29 this morning. So we are starting to see the temperatures warming up. And what a gorgeous afternoon we have in store. Lunchtime, mid-60s, will be at almost 70 degrees this afternoon. See, those kids running out of school, that's going to be them today, trying to get out and enjoy some of that warm sunshine, Brian.
Elizabeth, let's take a look at traffic this morning. Just getting reports of a crash in Wake Forest. This is a crash with injuries at Highway 98 at Thompson Mill Road. Seeing some very heavy delays on the westbound side of 98 heading away from Capitol Boulevard back toward that Thompson Mill Road intersection. So allow some extra time there on the west side of Wake Forest. Also still watching this crash on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. Looks like they have mostly cleared this, but we're still seeing some delays from just before you get to 42 all the way up through the Clayton Bypass interchange. Once you get to Business 70, traffic flowing freely on into South Raleigh, Jeff.
Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools could take action today to attract bus drivers as shortages continue across our area. Administrators are expected to recommend raising the new bus driver minimum wage to $20 an hour. That's higher than the salary in Wake or Durham counties. Tonight's meeting on this issue is at 7 o'clock. Firefighters say that smoke could last for days as they work to keep an eye on the salvage yard fire in Wayne County. They have been keeping it contained now since Saturday. It hasn't spread to any nearby homes or businesses. They don't expect it to. Investigators are working to find out what started it. And next on Fox 50, what Hillside High School in Durham is revealing about the shooting that left a student dead. And ahead on today, a special Valentine's Day surprise in Studio 1A.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, new information from the mass shooting at Michigan State University coming out of this news conference that we've been monitoring for the last half hour.
And I'm following some big delays coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. We'll get you an update on that ride coming in from McGee's Crossroads toward Garner.
Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools could approve new recommendations to address bus driver shortages today. Right now, we're live in Chapel Hill with some of those recommendations as the district, again, dealing with some routes that will not be running this morning.
8:30, the time right now on your Tuesday morning, Valentine's Tuesday, and we're so glad you're with us. We have a busy morning ahead. You're in the right place to get all the information you need before you head out the door. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. We're going to start with weather, this beautiful Valentine's Day forecast. A little cold right now. You might need the jacket if you're outside, but we're going to warm up very nicely later on, Elizabeth.
That blue sky promises a nice warm up, especially because we have a nice southerly flow. A live look at Zebulon. This is their historic town hall, looking gorgeous with nothing but blue sky right up above it. It is 48 in Fayetteville, but we're still in the upper 30s in the Triangle area, mid-30s in Roxborough and in South Hill, 39 Southern Pines, 41 degrees in Goldsboro. Our 24-hour temperature change is not much. We're looking at temperatures pretty close to where they were this time yesterday, and we'll see temperatures climbing just a touch above it this afternoon. So is it going to be warm enough to eat dinner outside with your Valentine this evening? At 5 o'clock, it'll be 65, 60 at 6 p.m. and 57 at 7 p.m. So you have to make that decision yourself. If it was me, I'd be sitting right beside one of those patio heaters. We'll climb up to almost 70 this afternoon, so it'll feel great later on today. And this evening, again, those temperatures will still be on the mild side. We're dry today and tomorrow, but Thursday night into Friday, we do have rain in our forecast. We'll talk more about the timeline coming up, Brian.
It is 8:32 right now. I want to update you about the delays coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. We had an earlier crash right around the Clayton bypass, and as we've been watching the sensor readings change this morning, it looks like things are improving a little bit coming in from the McGee's Crossroads area. Taking a look at the latest update, right now not picking up any significant delays between 210 and 42, but you are running into about a 7-minute backup between 42 through the Clayton bypass area. Once you get up to Business 70, traffic's flowing along fairly well, but just expect those delays right around the bypass, which is usually one of our bottlenecks at this point in the morning commute. Also in North Raleigh, just getting reports about a crash with injuries on Creedmoor Road at Sugarbush Road, seeing some heavy backups on that southbound side of Creedmoor heading away from Millbrook Road. On the northern side of Wake County, west of Wake Forest, a crash at 98 at Thompson Mill Road with some heavy backups on the westbound side of 98 heading away from Capitol Boulevard back out toward Falls Lake. So some slowdowns heading away from Wake Forest back into the northern part of Wake County. Also look out for a crash on 440 westbound around Brentwood Road. Good news in Durham right now, with the exception of our usual delays in both directions of 885. We're looking pretty good overall.
Breaking news in just the last 15 minutes. Police shared new information about the shooting at Michigan State University. We have a live look over there on campus right now. Ken Smith listened in from the WRI Live Center on this as investigators spoke, the governor, Gretchen Whitmer, spoke. He joins us now with what they all revealed about this, Ken.
Jeff, this has been an extremely emotional morning, an extremely emotional press conference. That's the interim campus police chief speaking right now. The governor spoke, the congresswoman Slotkin spoke as well, all of whom shed tears during this news conference. Here's what we know right now. The three victims who died are in fact Michigan State University students. According to the chief, this all started around 8:30 last night. The first calls came in at Berkey Hall, which is an academic building. When officers arrived in that building, they found two of the deceased students in that building. Immediately after, they got some more information about shots being fired at the student union building. And once they arrived in that building, they found a third student who was shot and killed in that mass shooting. Five MSC students are now being treated at East Lansing Hospital. The hospital says four of those students required immediate surgery. All five students remain in critical condition this morning. The chief also released the name of the suspected shooter. He's been identified as 43-year-old Anthony Dwayne McRae. 43-year-old Anthony Dwayne McRae, who police say took his own life around 11:30 last night when they found him somewhere in the East Lansing area. But I can tell you, in monitoring this news conference this morning, it's clear that this mass shooting has not only shattered this on-campus community, but that East Lansing community in general. They're calling for prayers for everyone.
Okay, certainly emotional, heartbreaking going on there. And that name that you gave us, we'll follow up on some of the background and history on that person. We're also hearing from students this morning who say everyone followed directions from police to run, hide, and fight.
Just as we freshly blockaded the doors, apparently people heard shooting, they heard the door open, and it's this giant stampede of people headed toward me.
You never think it's going to happen in your own backyard. You see it happening everywhere else, and you're like, see it on the news and don't know what to believe. It's just crazy.
Michigan State officials say there will be no campus-related activities for the next 2 days at least. Leaders, including Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, posted after 2 a.m. saying something needs to change to address school shootings like this. We'll have another update on all this ahead at 9 here on Fox 50.
Today, one local school system is considering a big step to address that bus driver shortage causing problems around the state. It might start paying drivers more than any other district in our area. WRL's Laura Levine joins us now from Chapel Hill Carborough Schools. Laura, the district had to cancel several routes this morning because of this driver shortage.
They did, Michelle. Today, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools has four buses that are not running today. This is impacting about nine different schools, and the transportation department here, they have about 15 uncovered routes each and every day before they have to depend on substitutes as well as licensed office staff. And that's why for several months, the district has been surveying people in the community as well as staff members. And with those results, I took a look at them and it says that more than 1,000 people have suggested increasing pay for bus drivers once again. And this data will be presented to the Board of Education today, along with new recommendations to address bus driver shortages. The first recommendation involves immediately raising the minimum new bus driver pay from $16.62 an hour to $20 an hour. This would be higher than Wake County schools at $17.20 and Durham's starting pay at $18.13. The second recommendation is implementing a bell schedule change that would split elementary schools into two tiers so that the same number of buses can cover more schools each day. And then we have that third recommendation, which involves changes to the magnet program bus transportation.
It seems as though there's an appetite to compensate our drivers in a way that leads the regional market. I think it's a little bit more toward 50-50 in terms of the change to bell schedules and the school start times, particularly at the elementary level. And then there's, I think, more diversification of opinion when it comes to our magnet school transportation.
And when it comes to next steps tonight, the Board of Education, again, will be having that meeting. And that spokesperson tells me we could see them vote on increasing that bus driver pay. As far as the other recommendations, that is going to take more discussion, likely, most likely, he says. And will, those recommendations will not be implemented until the next school year. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Chapel Hill.
Any minute now, we'll get a better idea of whether inflation is cooling off. The Consumer Price Index will show how much we all spent on things like gas and groceries last month. For months now, data has shown inflation is cooling off, but some economists think today's report could show it is back on the rise slightly. WRL spoke with one expert who says there's hope the bump in inflation won't last long.
And if you look at the fundamental drivers of inflation, the most important component, one third of inflation, is shelter cost. So housing prices and rents. And housing prices are coming down. Rents are coming down. Housing starts, building permits, all of these are negative, and these will work their way into the inflation rate to reduce it.
Federal Reserve will likely use today's report as an indicator of whether to keep raising interest rates. That report will be out any second, and we'll be monitoring it for updates. Today's report comes as Americans are expected to spend nearly $26 billion on Valentine's Day, up about $2 billion from last year, making this one of the highest spending years on record. In our next half hour, WRL's Nia Harden will take us to a local florist to show us their preparations for the holiday.
Starting today, our nation's top lawmakers will start getting classified briefings on all of those flying objects that have been shot down by the military. At least four unidentified airborne crafts have been shot down in recent days. That includes a Chinese balloon that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina. A full Senate classified briefing on China is scheduled for tomorrow. The White House says it is not currently tracking any more unidentified objects.
An effort to expand Medicaid in North Carolina is making progress. A bill is nearing a full vote in the State House, with votes planned today in two committees. Healthcare leaders say the bill would help 600,000 North Carolinians who currently fall in the Medicaid coverage gap. Our state is one of 11 that have yet to expand the program. The federal government would pay nearly $2 billion to North Carolina if the bill becomes law.
A well check program for seniors in Wake County will relaunch today. Newly elected Sheriff Willie Rowe is bringing back the program for the first time since 2019. Anyone 65 and older who enrolls will get an automated phone call from the sheriff's office every morning. Two more calls will follow if there's no answer, and deputies will reach out to an emergency contact before visiting themselves. This is a free program with no cost to taxpayers.
A deadly rampage involving a U-Haul truck through the streets of New York City. Just ahead on Fox 50, new surveillance video shows that attack as it happened, and we learn more about the driver's past.
And what Hillside High School in Durham is now revealing about a discovery just 2 days before the shooting near campus that left one student dead and another hurt.
And warm weather sticks around for a few more days. As you look live, this is Rocky Mount Mills from our WRL Live Cam Network. We'll tell you when the cold returns in your 7-day forecast up next.
coming up on 8:45 on your Valentine's Day morning. This is a beautiful look out at Beaufort. Just saw a boat go by. If you're going to take the boat out today, it's a good day to do it, but right now you might need a jacket on the water. Meteorologist Elizabeth Garner has the forecast for today. A nice one. It's going to warm up.
It's going to be a really nice day. We've got a lot of sunshine in our forecast for today and for tomorrow, too. Even Thursday doesn't look bad. It's Friday that we're going to be dealing with some wet conditions, especially in the morning. So pretty Valentine's Day, sunny and warm. It's been a chilly start this morning, but we'll see some highs in the 70s for the next couple of days. And then once we see Friday's front come through, temperatures will drop down, but just for a short time. Right now, we're taking a live look across North Hills at all the blue sky over downtown Raleigh. It is still 39 degrees, so grab a coat heading out the door, but you'll be able to shed it pretty quickly. We're in the mid-60s by lunchtime and almost 70 for the high this afternoon. High pressure is sitting down to our south, keeping things dry for us today and tomorrow, really Thursday too. We'll have a weak disturbance that pushes some clouds our way, but our chance of showers is pretty minimal. But this is the cold front that will move in on Thursday night and into Friday to bring us our best chance of rain all week. Checking future cast between now and lunchtime, totally dry and clear. We are nice and clear from lunchtime on through the evening. We do see some clouds after midnight. Notice how we cloud things up there at around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. This is 8 a.m. tomorrow, so a few more clouds tomorrow than we're seeing today. Today we're just cloud-free. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy, but no rain in the forecast. And we take a look at our big warm-up coming up. I mean, temperatures are going to be warmer than normal today, but for Thursday and Friday, we're going to be looking at mid-70s potentially, and then much cooler temperatures once we get to Friday afternoon and into Saturday. Saturday, of course, is the Stadium Series where the Hurricanes are playing outside on the ice at Carter-Finley. So it'll feel like winter that day. It's really the only day that it's going to be that cold this week. You can see that 53 on Saturday. 55 is our normal high. Don't be fooled by this 67 on Friday, though. That's likely to happen before lunchtime, and then during the afternoon, our temperatures will start to drop through the 50s. So feeling great today, though. 69, 72 tomorrow, and 76 on Thursday. We've already seen 3 days at 70 or warmer at RDU, which is where we officially keep the records. So we've got at least 2 more in our forecast this week. Obviously, that brings us up to 5, which is over the average. But our record is 13, and we're already halfway through the month. So I think we'll be hard-pressed to set that record, but definitely more warmth potentially next week. How about outdoor dining today? And a lot of folks like to go out to dinner for Valentine's. At lunch day, 60, and dinner time early is going to be closer to, low 60. So not bad out there. Definitely could be colder. Friday in the morning will be wet and then some drying conditions in the afternoon. Right now, Saturday for the big Stadium Series outside Hurricanes game, it looks good. Puck drop time, temperature will be in the low 40s, and then we warm things right back up Sunday and Monday. Monday, we're back to 70 again.
It happened now in the WRA Live Center. The long-awaited CPI report just dropped in the last 10 minutes, and you can see the headlines right here on CNBC. Inflation rose 0.5% in January, a little bit more than expected. But I want to bring your attention to this graph right here. And look at the year-to-date. In January 2022, you can see it's above the 6% mark. But when you come to 2023, overall, it's at 5.6%. So while we're seeing that bump in inflation for this month, economists believe that all the interest rate hikes that we've experienced for the last several months, it's actually helping that overall inflation is in fact cooling, because there are a number of factors that haven't made it into the data yet. But while you might see these bumps in January, maybe again in March, or possibly in April, economists believe that the inflation is in fact cooling and the Feds should not raise interest rates the next time they meet. So we'll have to see what happens then. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers to see how this is impacting Wall Street in the next hour of news here on Fox 50.
Thanks, Ken. We're also getting a new look this morning at a U-Haul truck driver's deadly rampage through the streets of New York City. Surveillance video released overnight shows that truck plowing down a sidewalk in Brooklyn with a police car chasing right behind it on a sidewalk, trying to get it to stop. Officers say that truck hit 9 people, killing a 44-year-old man. 2 others remain in critical condition. Police managed to stop the truck at the entrance to a tunnel into Manhattan. They arrested the 62-year-old driver, who family members say has a history of mental illness and convictions for violent crimes.
Also in New York, a jury will start the process of deciding whether a man convicted of a terrorist attack should be put to death. A jury already found Saifullo Saifav guilty of driving a truck into people on a bike path in Manhattan on Halloween night back in 2017. 8 people were killed. Now they'll hear testimony in the death penalty phase of his trial. He could be the first person to be executed in New York in 60 years. Prosecutors say he committed the attack so he could become a full-fledged member of ISIS.
We now know that just 2 days before 2 Hillside High School students were shot near campus, a school resource officer found a gun in a backpack. The school's principal sent that information out to parents. One of the students who was shot died. WRL spoke with Karen Haldeman, who has a student in high school in Durham. She's also an activist working to decrease gun violence. She says the mental health of students needs more attention.
We have so little resources that we have devoted to mental health care and counselors in our schools that it is outrageous that we could spend all this money on all of these other things, and yet we sit here knowing our children are in crisis.
Drama students at Hillside High will put on a play this week called State of Urgency. It's a call to action to stop gun violence. North Carolina will be getting some of that support today with more than $3 million to expand virtual mental health care. Governor Roy Cooper will announce a new grant for the statewide telepsychiatry program. More than $3 million will be given out over 3 years to support mental health services for kids in rural and underserved parts of the state. Today's announcement is happening at East Carolina University.
And here at home, you might hear sirens near UNC Chapel Hill. The university is holding a test of its emergency sirens as part of a safety awareness campaign. The test will happen between 11 and 1.
Leaders with downtown Durham are responding to the news that Facebook's parent company, Meta, is hiring in the Bull City. Meta is bringing 100 jobs to the area. Downtown Durham Incorporated CEO Nicole Thompson says this is a win for the city, but there are also some issues to address. She says there needs to be more discussion about affordable housing.
This issue of affordability is going well beyond downtowns. But I think it's not just the Metas and the Googles that are wanting to be a part of the conversation and have come into the community, but the smaller businesses that are coming.
She says companies will have to work with the city on this issue. Meta's new office will be on the American Tobacco campus, and it'll join Microsoft, Google, and soon Apple with new offices in the Triangle.
Happy hour remains illegal in North Carolina, at least for now. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers has filed a bill that would allow individual cities and counties to legalize limited-time drink specials and promotions. A similar bill filed last year did not pass. Restaurant and bar owners are in favor of the bill, but there is opposition among some religious activists. And to get stories like this about state government sent right to your inbox, you can sign up for our NC Capital newsletter. You can go to WREL.com, open the main menu on the top left of the homepage, and select newsletters. It's also available on the WREL News app. Well, excitement is building with just 4 days until the long-awaited outdoor matchup between the Carolina Hurricanes and Washington Capitals. Take a look at the progress crews are making in turning Carter Finley Stadium into an outdoor hockey rink. If you'd like tickets, well, unfortunately, you're out of luck. The game is officially sold out. Not surprised. I mean, it's going to be an awesome game.
No, and they're doing something new. It's never been done in one of those outdoor games. They're allowing more people on the field level.
Oh,
so a lot of them will be students. They'll
Very
have
cool.
NC State band there. It's going to be a good thing.
And it's going to be cold, too. Well, it's going to be chilly outside, so it'll be good for an outdoor hockey game.
Perfect for that 8 o'clock puck drop.
Yeah.
And lottery numbers on your screen. We'll get another check of weather and traffic coming up next.